So this is Christmas. Sounds like a song.
It is.
Get so many of those songs that we get on compilation CDs and things at Christmas, don't we, that hear them over and over again. And some are fun and some are helpful and some are not. But here it is. It's arrived. It's just around the corner. And by now, you've got all your decorations up and you've got all your presents bought and wrapped. And you just know that everything's just ready, isn't it? No. No, it's funny. One or two people in the office have been saying, it seems to have sneaked up on us. You know, it's like, you know, and that's how we feel. Normally we've sort of written out lists and asked the family who wants what. You know, we've phoned up some of the children and say, what do you want for Christmas? They go, oh, don't know. Don't worry. And it's come round. A year has gone by and here we are again back at Christmas. But what does it mean for us? And we can get caught up in all the other stuff around. And things can be a problem for us. And all the things around family and meals and things. And it's interesting to see sometimes what children say about these things. So there was a mum who invited lots of family round for the Christmas dinner. And at the table, she turns to a 6-year-old daughter and says, would you like to say the blessing? I wouldn't know what to say, the girl replied. Just say what you hear mummy say, the wife answered. So the daughter bowed her head and said, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner? A little boy was overheard praying, saying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a really good time like I am. I'll leave the other one. But things come upon us and things around us can just overwhelm us. But here we come to a central point of the Christian calendar here and at Passover, the crucifixion, the resurrection. But what does it mean for us? Songwriters write endlessly about all kinds of things. And it struck me just, and this came to me several times in the week while I've been praying about this message, and I've not slept a lot this week, and it's been quite a trial just coming to this word. But last weekend and the week before, there was an anniversary of somebody's death. Anybody remember? John Lennon. And one of the famous songs he wrote, Imagine. And what does that song say? Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. What a lie. What an incredible deception. Because, praise God, there is a heaven. But there is also a hell. And actually where we stood before Christmas happened is we'd given dominion over to Satan and his hosts, and we were living under the kingdom of Satan. And he's condemned to an eternity in a lost hell. And if we stay in his kingdom, that's our destiny. Sometimes we don't say that a lot. Sometimes we don't preach that a lot. Sometimes we don't talk about those things. And it's, and you know, someone like him can say, you know, lie in bed and say, give peace a chance, without knowing what peace really means. He can say, well, just pretend that stuff isn't really there. Perhaps it won't matter if you think it's not there. Well, it does matter. And it matters to us. Because Satan wants to drag you with him into that lost eternity. And a lot of us in the world, and we can sometimes find ourselves like this, I've used the term here, we've been kidnapped. And we're waiting for someone to ransom us. And while we're in that state of kidnap, we go through what's called like the Stockholm syndrome. Do you know what I mean by that? Where we come used to being with our kidnappers. And we can't get into this syndrome where we begin to empathize with our kidnappers. We begin to just accept the way life is in that state. And we lose hope of being ransomed. And the first Christmas brought the proclamation that was given into the world. Hallelujah. Let's get this working now. Here we go. Joy to the world. That means you. And that was the proclamation at the first Christmas. Why was it joy to the world? It was a joy because the ransom payment was about to be made. The ransom that would take your life from the grips of the enemy and a certainty in hell and enable you to be transported to a life of joy and peace in the presence of God from now and for all eternity. No longer Satan has dominion over you. His power is broken. And when Jesus came into the world, the hosts of hell did not understand what was about to happen. And yet they set their armies to try and defeat this. Babies were slaughtered in their hundreds to try and get rid of the coming Messiah. Tragic time for those around. But here we proclaim joy to the world. Well, what is joy? What is joy? We sang at the beginning. Do you know, it's one of those things I've been struggling with all week, trying to nail jelly to the wall. What is joy? I looked at Webster's. Webster's is a pretty good dictionary on the whole. And they have their best stab at joy. And they say, excitement or pleasurable feeling caused by the acquisition or expectation of good. Okay. Gladness, delight, exhilaration of spirits. That's not drinks. The cause of satisfaction and happiness. Do you know, when I read that word happiness, I began to think actually that happiness is the world's counterfeit for joy. That happiness is transient. You know, you give, we see our grandchildren sometime over Christmas and you give them a present, and certainly the little one will tear into the box, play with the paper, think the colour of this is really wonderful, and 2 hours later it's forgotten. So there's a moment of happiness and we move on. And happiness goes and changes when our circumstance changes around us. Memories that were happy memories can suddenly turn and become sad because of loss, because of grief, because of betrayals. Things that were once happy can be turned into sadness. But joy is not like that. Joy is eternal and joy never changes. It's not dependent on how we feel. It's interesting that right now, you know, one of the things our new government wants to do is measure the happiness of the nation. Isn't that a strange notion? Let's measure the happiness of the nation. So give yourself a score out of 10, you know, how happy are you? And most people will be thinking about what they own or how comfortable they are or how warm or cold they are or how full their stomachs are. And it's this phrase they call well-being. We have people in our office employed to look at well-being. Amazing. Government poured loads of money into well-being. Whatever that means. There is only one source of well-being. And it's in the kingdom of heaven. All the rest is just a counterfeit. It will pass away. It will fade. But on that wonderful day, the angels came and proclaimed joy. It says here in Luke 2, 8-10. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Not surprised. Have you ever seen an angel in his glory? You know, 9 feet tall, big gold wings, whatever, or 20 feet tall things. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." How incredibly, incredibly inclusive this is. It isn't just for a few. It isn't just for a handful. One of the reasons the angels went to the shepherds is because they were people that were on the edge of society. They were a bit smelly being around the sheep all the time. They weren't very welcome where they went. They were tended to, you know, it was the low-paid job. Like dustman or something like that would have been thought of a while ago. But the angel goes to them and says, this is for everybody. And it's a good news of great joy. And then in Matthew, talking about the magi, the three kings, whatever you want to call them, the wise men. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. There was a thrill and an excitement that touched their hearts, that they knew the world was about to change. As Viv said earlier, the calendars changed. A focal point of history that we measure time from. when Jesus came into the world. Well, how do we enter into his joy? Some scriptures there, they might be a bit small for you to read, but I'll read them out to you anyway. And what is joy? Well, back in the Old Testament, in a book called Nehemiah 8:10, he says, "Then he said to them, 'Go eat the fat and drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" So joy is something that's very positive and comes into our lives and strengthens us. Well, strengthens us for what? And where does it come from? What is joy? Let's have a look at what David writes in some of the Psalms. Psalm 16:11. "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." So David says that God himself makes known to him the way of life and brings him into a place where there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Would you want your life to have fullness of joy? Do you just want to be happy now and again and miserable most of the time? Or do you want your life to have fullness of joy? It's amazing how people love to be miserable. They really love to be miserable. Go in the office on a Monday morning, how was your weekend? Oh, the weather. Being miserable is a standard state of mind. Let's complain about something, someone, complain about the government, complain about the boss, complain about the work, complain about how warm or cold the office is, complain about the weather. We love misery. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? But we can have a path of life where there is fullness of joy. In Psalm 51, as David repents after his sins, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." It's God's salvation and it brings joy. "And sustain me with a willing spirit." David recognized that he needed sustenance, sustaining power from God to stay in that place of joy. Psalm 105:43, "And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen ones with a joyful shout." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God brings forth his people with joy. We're beginning to see a pattern here. This is a work of God. This is something coming from heaven towards us, not us making a response. It's not what's in our heart. It's what he creates and generates within us. It's interesting here. It says, "And they have a joyful shout." Oh, don't do that again. It's a bit loud. We're not very much into shouting, are we? And yet the walls of Jericho came down with a shout of praise. You want to defeat some things in your life. You want to defeat the enemy working over your life. Sometimes you might need to shout your victory in Christ.
Glory to Jesus.
That hurt a bit, didn't it? Sorry for the recording there, probably blew the levels up. But we don't do that. It's a bit over, you know, a bit over the top there, isn't it? Not British. A bit over the top. Keep the emotions down in, you know, keep it in check. Not too much joy around here, you know. Keep it steady. But you know, when something wells up in your heart with some excitement, perhaps it's okay to bounce around a bit or clap or shout. But you know, that shout brought down a fortress. That shout opened the way for the children of God to enter into the promised land. Salvation comes to us and we should enter in with a shout of joy. Joy comes from the kingdom of God, not from the world. David knew this, and we often mistake happiness and laughter for joy when its source doesn't come from Christmas gifts and things like that, but it comes from the heart of God. Psalm 119:1:1:1. It's a long psalm. "I have inherited your testimonies forever." In other words, it's the law of God in our hearts. "For they are joy to my heart," says David. Is the word of God a joy to your heart? It is to me because it anchors me down. When I've had a rubbish week, like I had a rubbish week this week, and perhaps that's been a test in a sense, I can find myself walking along the road proclaiming who God is and knowing a joy in my life. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting, it says in this version. This is the American Standard. Come with joyful shouting, or come with singing, with everlasting joy upon the heads. Do you want some everlasting joy? It's not like everlasting chewing gum. Everlasting joy upon your head. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It flees from them because they're shouting and rejoicing in the joy that comes from heaven. Are you still miserable? Are you still fed up? Still caught in the world? Still not sure of your eternal security? Do you know that you have a place in heaven reserved for you by Jesus Christ, who has made a home for you, and he will come to take you to that home? If you don't know it, you can know it today. And that's a joy we work with. Hallelujah. Sorry, these words are a bit small, but they'll be on the internet as well. Isaiah 55:11-12. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Oh, we've added another dimension here. Be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Creation, it tells in Romans, creation is longing and waiting to see the revealing of God's church. The earth is going down the pan. There's been a summit this week, hasn't there? I've forgotten where it was, but there's been a summit this week somewhere in, Mexico, and it was somewhere in Central America, and about, you know, saving the planet, getting green, you know, cut your emissions, use less fuel, all this sort of stuff. Creation is waiting for the glory of God to be revealed in his people, and the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what man tries to do to save the planet, he won't work. Not saying we shouldn't take care as good stewards, but what man's efforts are nothing. Storms and floods and weather systems change out of their control. Nothing they can do. Global warming, and we get 1.5 feet of snow. Yeah. Thank you, Graham. But it's not in our control. It's not in our control. But God's word goes forth, and it will not return to him without accomplishing that which he sent. And he has sent forth through Jesus a word of salvation, a word of ransom for many, a word of forgiveness. He said to us, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, and I give it to you. And when you say to someone, your sins are forgiven, then from heaven they are forgiven. His word is powerful. His word, which can be on our lips, and it lets us be led out with joy. That is his word. Jesus in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. There's that, again, that fullness of joy. Jesus is praying. One of the last things he starts to pray here is that we would know his joy, and that joy wouldn't just be a small trickle or a drip, but it will be full. Why? Because he knows we need joy to be our strength. He knows we need joy in our lives to be an overcomer. He knows we need to have a shout of joy to declare his victory. It's God's intent that we know his joy, and it stays with us as his word stays with us. He says, my word will not pass away. But we need to enter into it by faith and not fail. Like David said, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are joy to my heart. John 16:22-24. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Well, there's plenty of happiness stealers out there. Plenty of things that cause us grief and sorrow. Plenty of things that bring sadness into our lives. But here Jesus say, you might have grief, but when you have joy, it can never be taken from you. Because joy is an eternal gift from God. It's not a Christmas gift wrapped to be discarded. It's a gift that is eternal, that when given into your life will remain with you, not just now, but right through eternity. So, it cannot be taken away. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. And one of the things I began to see as I read through these scriptures, that quite clearly, the way that joy comes into our life is one, in the word of God, and secondly, in relationship with him. Now, if we're living still lost in the world, we're not in relationship with God. It's only through Jesus Christ we can have that relationship. But in relationship, the word of God comes into our lives and brings us joy, like David said. It brings us joy, and it's a joy that's everlasting. It's a spiritual gift. Joy and peace in the Holy Spirit that come into our lives along with his salvation. A joy that is full, that no one can take away. You know, sometimes we go through our lives and we struggle up and down and things come through our heads and we make some rubbish choices and we wonder what we're doing and we think, oh, you know, where am I at before God? Well, where you're at before God is robed in righteousness, seated with him in heavenly places, in an immovable place. You have a bad day, Jesus doesn't. And you are seated with him, if you know him, in heavenly places. You can have plenty of bad days, and you're still seated with him in heavenly places. We need to make right choices. We need to work towards that. For as long as we live in this body of flesh and live on this world, we will make some duff choices. And those choices do not take away the joy of our salvation. They might affect how you feel. And you might let how you feel affect the way you behave. Your faith might go a bit glum. You might find life a bit hard. But your joy cannot be taken away. So joy isn't just excitement. It isn't just a leap and happy clapping. A joy is a sense of real well-being. A sense of contentment that is solid and sure and steadfast, founded on the gift of salvation that he has for us. And it is a source that comes from the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So as they went out to preach the gospel, they found that it was a fantastic thing to do. It made their hearts overflow with joy as they went out, obedient to God's word. And as they were filled with joy, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with joy. Kind of both going hand in hand. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, so it's not the things that make us feel good, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here we're finding the source of joy coming into our life. It is relationship, it is the word of God, but it's coming via the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I've been reading Romans, read it several times over and over and over again, and just I can't stop reading at the moment. I just keep getting so much out of Romans. It's an incredible book. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So as you believe, you will have all joy, all peace in your hearts, so that you would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is our hope? Our hope is fixed in heaven. That yes, this body will fall away because it's been redeemed, it's been ransomed, and we will rise again in a glorious new body and live eternally, free from all those things that pull us down in the earth, to live with him forever, to enjoy a relationship with our God forever, to know eternal joy and peace. It's incredible. That is a hope that is steadfast and certain. And through a rubbish week, I've been able to walk round through Crawley and say, Lord, I thank you. I have a hope that is anchored in you, that is steadfast and certain, that I know that you are unchanging. I feel really rubbish right now, but I thank you that you are brilliant, Lord. You are my healer. You are my strength. You are the shade of my right hand. You are everything to me. And it's true. And the next day, I still had a rubbish day. But I still know that I am anchored, eternally, secure, steadfast, unmoved by what Jesus has done. Because he came as a man to defeat the enemy as a man, so that we could come into the fullness of his salvation and be born again into what we were meant to be, created in the image of God, birthed by his Spirit, eternal beings with free choice to love him forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. Oh, always get around to this, don't you, Ian? Trials and affliction. But Hebrews 2:12 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus, because he knew where that joy was, he endured. Sorry to say it, but there are going to be some things we have to endure. And yet, back to where I started in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It enables us to be lifted above the flesh life and find a new contentment and rest in the Holy Spirit. I'm finding certainly right now that most of the trials that are coming, we used to have trials called teenagers, now they're grown up, most of the trials that now come are what's in my own heart, or what's there, the choices or the things that come up in my mind, and the things where I think, oh, what am I doing thinking that and fighting with those things and feeling weak in the flesh and annoying pains and aches and goodness knows what, and all of those things, I can still have joy because he is my source. Does it make the aches and pains go away? Does it make all of the wrong thoughts instantly vanish? No. Because that's the battleground. That's where I'm still walking. That's where I need to overcome. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph. Thanks be to God, Paul says, who will set me free from this body of sin? Thanks be to God, it's Jesus, through Jesus Christ. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is nothing to condemn us for all of that weakness, for all that frailty. There is no condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus. That's joy. That's joy. Hallelujah. And so there are trials. There are things that come to us. In Galatians 2:20, it's not on the screen. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's joy. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. It's interesting to see how joy in the scriptures I've been reading, joy and peace seem to be just inextricably linked as well, isn't it? It's funny because in the worldly sense, we think joy and peace kind of, you know, one's inactive and the other one is sort of happy, clappy, active. And actually here the scripture brings them together and says actually they're inextricably linked. Actually, to have real joy, you've got to have real peace. And peace isn't just ceasing activity. Peace isn't just getting away from adversity. Peace is having an assurance that in Christ I can do all things. He has overcome the world, and in him I am an overcomer. That's peace. And then that brings joy. And the joy expressed with a shout of victory brings peace. They are inextricably linked. And lots of times when the Lord talks about where Israel failed, you know, there's all kinds of things we can think of in their idolatry. But one thing that he criticized them in Hebrews 4, is a whole chapter about it, that they didn't actually enter into what he calls the Sabbath rest. In other words, they didn't actually walk by faith. They were busy doing, doing, doing. Writing lots of new laws, the scribes and the Pharisees. Writing lots of new ways to figure out how to be a good Sabbath-keeping Jew. And now if you live in Israel, you can't switch the light on or off on Sunday. So you might have them set on a timer to save you the trouble, because you can't use the light switch because that's work. Do you think the Lord kind of puts his head in his hands and goes, oh dear. Have they missed the point? But have we missed the point? See, it's easy to laugh at a simple thing like that. But are we trying to justify our place in the kingdom of God by how we behave? Are we saying if I do this enough times, he'll just smile on me and it'll be good? And if I do this, oh, he'll be and turn him away from me? Do we think that what we do makes any difference to the power of Jesus' salvation in our lives? A joy that cannot be taken away. A salvation that cannot be taken away. I'm not preaching, do anything you like and it doesn't matter, because it matters. But it's not how you enter into the kingdom of God and find peace and joy with him. And we need to enter into that Sabbath rest and that place of faith. And the rest of faith took me back into Romans again. I can't get away from Romans. I love it. In Romans 10, it says, tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's the link again. We're in relationship and it's the word. Again, Viv very helpfully, back from the beginning of John. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, sorry, got out of order there, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, we get worried about what we do and how we behave. And he says, actually, just let the fruit of the Spirit. Let me pour this oil over you. If I just came around with a big jug of oil and you all just sat still and that oil represented the Holy Spirit and I just poured it over you. And in pouring it over you, just imagine that now, a warming flow of oil that brings with it joy and peace and kindness and love and patience. And feel that flow over you as the Spirit of God rests upon you. It isn't anything that you're doing. It's about his impartation into your life. So the Spirit becomes for us the source of joy. To receive the Spirit, we need to be saved. To be saved, we need to see Jesus and acknowledge him as risen from the dead and confess him and turn around and make him Lord of our lives. Here's another verse with joy. You knew I'd get to this one. James 1:2-4. Consider it joy, all joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A fullness of joy. Joy that even in the trial, even through the difficult time, gifted by the Spirit, the joy of the Lord will be your strength and will carry you through the trial. That's why you can meet a trial with joy. I didn't say you meet a trial with happy clapping. You meet a trial with joy. A solidity, an anchored hope, a peace and a reassurance that you are immovable in the heavenly places. I think it's incredible, the story of Job. I read it lots and lots and lots and studied it at Bible college. But through all the trials that he went through, a man in the Old Testament who didn't know at that point about Jesus in the sense that we do of having preached to us. And there we get to it, I think somewhere like chapter 42 in Job. And he says, I know that my, we've sung it, Redeemer lives. And he stands in heaven. Hallelujah. There you go. He found joy. He went through the most miserable trials. He lost his family. He lost his business. He lost his home. And when that wasn't enough, he sat on the rubbish heap outside the town and his body blistered into boils. And then his friends came along and said, you must have done something really wrong, Job. And Job looks and says, I know that my Redeemer lives. What an incredibly powerful prophetic statement. From a place of trial, because God's joy touched his heart, a gift from God. Yes, and even then he had all his other stuff restored to him, all the worldly stuff was restored, but the gift that God gave him was a gift of joy and peace and faith that he knew that his Redeemer lives. And that's a gift that he can give to you today. And as we approach and go through this Christmas season, this is what we want to be able to share with others and ensure that people know that their lives can be changed and be made secure in the power of God. Hallelujah. Into the home straight. 1 Peter 1:6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. There it is again. We just can't get away from that. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. If you don't know today that you have that assurance, then speak to somebody to be sure that you do. Through Jesus Christ today, we can know that and know that we have joy, know that we have salvation gifted to us. Yes, we will have trials. Yes, there'll be things that come along. And yes, they test our faith. But he will give us strength to stand and to go through those things. This is more than a moment of fun at Christmas. It's more than a party game. It's knowing we're anchored in eternity with Jesus Christ, who came as a babe, died as a man, and rose again, and is seated in glory. The last verse, Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. Hallelujah. What a fantastic way to end. To him, he, Jesus Christ, Father God, Holy Spirit, he is able to keep you from stumbling through the trial. And he will make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. When you sing joy to the world, when you see cards with joy on them, when somebody says to you, have a joyous time this Christmas, maybe you can have a response that comes from the kingdom of heaven, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to touch hearts and lives. And I pray that God will bless you through this season and make you a blessing to many others. I just give thanks that even though for me physically and in other ways it's been a difficult week this week, my Muslim colleague, he's gone actually to Pakistan this week for 4 weeks to visit family. And before he went, praise God, I was able to share with him about the power of prayer and relationship with God. And he just opened to how important it was in his life that he wants to worship God. I think, well, Lord, work on that. I think, you know, I could be in a place where I'm fed up, full of headaches and not doing anything, but the Lord can still give us the opportunity to share his glory, to share his kingdom with someone else. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will feed that word in his heart and his family's heart and see them change. And I pray that that will be for you. You will have opportunity with your families, with your friends, with your colleagues to let them know what joy is in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I praise you that it is by your Spirit, through Jesus Christ, by his death and his resurrection, that we are saved, that you have for us a place in eternity, a place that gives us cause for joy, a place where we know there will be eternal joy, joy inexpressible, as we're told in the Word. I pray that you will give us strength to overcome the weaknesses of our lives and to give you honor and to glorify you and allow others to see Jesus in us. And for those who don't know you, whether here this morning or in our families, we pray that, Lord, this season will be one where they see you. Lord, you died that we might have life. You died that all might have life. This was a joy that you came and proclaimed. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen. Hallelujah.